Good afternoon, brethren. The title for my sermonette this afternoon is a simple title, Choose Life. Now, when the children of Israel were about to enter the Promised Land, God gave them a number of instructions on how they should live in that land. He had Moses restate the Ten Commandments as they had all, except for a very few, either been under 20 years of age or not yet born when the Ten Commandments had been given some 40 years ago at Mount Sinai. Now, this was all stated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 to 21. However, in Deuteronomy 5:29, verse 29, that's Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, God lamented that the people did not have a heart that would enable them to obey him. As he said, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, we can read, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." That's what they meant to him. He reminded them that it was not because they were great in number, but because he loved them and was fulfilling his oath, which he had made with their fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, continuing on to Deuteronomy chapter 27, God gave the children of Israel a series of laws. These laws they were to obey when they entered the land that was promised to them. A series of laws, including penalties, that would enable them to live in an organised manner in the land. Then when we come to Deuteronomy 28, God gave the children of Israel a list of blessings for obedience to his laws and a list of curses if they disobeyed. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to 20, that's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to 20, God gave a summary of what he had said previously. And this is the summary. "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." God wanted them to choose life and receive all the physical blessings that he had promised them. When we read that God is your life, we'll come back to that statement later, realizing that Jesus Christ was the God speaking in the Old Testament. Unfortunately, when we study the history of the children of Israel, from this time forward, they continually departed from God and his laws and received God's punishment for doing so. Then at various times they turned back to God and he blessed them. But that turning back was unfortunately only temporary. Finally, the nation of Israel was taken into captivity by the Assyrians and have not returned to this day. Also, the nation of Judah was taken into temporary captivity by the Babylonians, although they did return to the land of Israel 70 years later. Now, one pivotal time in their history during the life of Elijah, and we read at this time Israel was experiencing a drought, which Elijah had prophesied to King Ahab, mentioned in the 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. That's 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." So Elijah had promised a drought on Israel. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 17 to 18, we read, that's 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 17 to 18, we read, "Then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, 'Is that you, O troubler of Israel?' And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals.'" These were the two things God had specifically warned in the passage we read previously on choosing life, not keeping the commandments and worshipping other gods rather than the eternal. And God would curse them for this. Now, after the miracle of the sacrifice of Elijah, the people admitted in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 39, that's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 39, that the Lord is God. Now, when the people saw it, when they saw this wonderful exhibition that God had destroyed the altar as well as their sacrifice, now when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Then they executed the 450 prophets of Baal at Elijah's command. This was a command given in the book of Deuteronomy that false prophets who led people away from God were to be executed. Unfortunately, this recognition of God was only a temporary interlude in their departing from God. Now, when we look at the blessings and cursings chapter, it will be noted that under the old covenant, all the blessings consisted of physical benefits, as all the curses were physical curses. The blessings provided for long life, highly productive farms, financial benefits, overall prosperity, military protection, and respect and fear from other nations because of being God's special people. Now, there was nothing wrong with these blessings. They were wonderful, but they did not provide for eternal life. Neither did they give the promise of the gift of God's Holy Spirit. They are blessings purely while the people were alive. The promise of eternal life and the gift of God's Holy Spirit were to come later under the new covenant. So how does choosing life apply to us who live under the promise of the new covenant? First of all, we must recognise that Jesus Christ is the only way to life, since he created us. We read in John 14, verse 6, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is our first step in choosing life, going to the source. We note that in Deuteronomy 30, we read that God was their life. Here, Jesus Christ is the life. Now, there are many instructions that are a part of choosing life. One very concise one is in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. That's Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, which is one of many scriptures about endurance. We read here, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Choosing life requires never giving up, continuing with the endurance required. It is a whole of life requirement. Where the scripture says shall be saved, this is legally mandatory on God, who has made the promise. In other words, if we who are called by God endure to the end, God will save us from death and give us eternal life. So enduring to the end is part of choosing life, eternal life. One of the things this term enduring includes is explained in James, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12. That's James, chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to those who love him. So in choosing life, we have to endure trials and temptations. This life is a promise of God who cannot lie and includes a crown, not just life, which of course signifies rulership. Again, this enduring temptation, whenever it occurs, is a lifelong event, not a one-off event. Another requirement to receive eternal life is stated in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. That's Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. We read here, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So as under the old covenant, obedience to God is still required. We are all aware of the requirement to achieve life mentioned seven times in Revelation, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. It requires overcoming. To each era of the church is promised a certain reward to those who overcome. Overcoming is also mentioned in other places as overcoming evil with good, overcoming the wicked one, overcoming the world, and overcoming the spirit of Antichrist. However, there are warnings given if we do not endure and overcome, but we turn back to our previous ways. One of these warnings is in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 to 27. That's Hebrews chapter 26 to 27, where we read, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries." This is not just mentioning a temporary sin repented of, but a changed way of life. This is no longer choosing life, but refusing to choose life. Now, there is an example of a church member who finally did not choose life. That member was Demas. In Colossians, he was mentioned along with Luke sending their greetings to the church in Colossae. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. That's Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." So he was considered basically alongside of Luke. Also in Philemon verses 23 and 24, that's Philemon verses 23 and 24, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow labourers." So in these epistles, Demas was considered a faithful church member. Now we need to remember that the chronological order of Paul's epistles is not necessarily the same as the order of the books in the Bible. So when we come to 2 Timothy, which Paul wrote several years after he wrote Colossians and Philemon, he mentions in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." He was acknowledging that he would soon die. But then we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, the same chapter, verses 9 and 10, Paul writes, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." This was after he had been considered a faithful fellow worker in the Gospels. So now he has left Paul and gone the way of the world. So we are warned about loving the world in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. That's 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." So loving the world leads to death, but doing God's will leads to life everlasting. So if we do this, we obey, we overcome, we endure, we will have succeeded in the ultimate goal of choosing life.